Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, I'm out of the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 4, 2014, or the Sivian 7, 2018. We will start our second service today with a song entitled, I Love to Tell the Story. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Yahshua and His glory, of Yahshua and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing, as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Yahshua and His love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all my golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old whole story of Yahshua and His love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from Yah's own holy word. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Yahshua and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like a rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, will be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Yahshua and His love. Part 4, we're in Shepherd Life, Volume 2. We're dealing with the subject of the Church of Yahweh and the symbol of a woman in Revelation chapter 12. We're on page 79. And so we will continue then our series on that. It says, for the world is filled with the so-called apostles and sects of the every kind. Is it not? It is time for the Elohim people to fall on their knees before their Creator and study the Scriptures for themselves, that they may know what is with the truth. Why should one accept the decision of another? If by so doing, we are robbed of an experience of our own, if so, may we not ask the question, what is the future outlook of the world? No one is saved because he may admit the evidence of the truth, or because he may belong to the right church or creed. It is only by an experience of his own, based upon the evidences of the truth received into the heart, that can renew the mind and regenerate the soul so that he can walk in the newness of the life. It is utterly impossible to enter into the kingdom of Yahshua without a personal touch of the divine glory. Yahshua said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of the Elohim," John 3:3. For the following scriptures bear the same evidence. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of Elohim. Romans 2:28-29. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of the Yahweh, 1 Corinthians 7:19, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Yahweh, your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of the great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil, Joel 2:13. For they that are such serve not our Savior Yahshua Messiah, but their own belly, and by the good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Romans 16:18. Returning to our original thought, the 11 were allowed to perform the ordination of the Matthias for a lesson to this present day with this new model religion, showing that the Elohim has committed unto no man apostolic authority save unto the 12. For the commission unto the ministry is, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Yahweh Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28:19-20. "So thou, O Son of Man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear their word at my mouth, and warn them for me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." Ezekiel 33:7-8. In the reality, the 12 stars on the woman's crown originally represented the 12 patriarchs, later the 12 tribes of the flesh to Israel. After that, the 12 apostles, and last, the 12 tribes of the spiritual Israel, the 144,000. Thus, again, it proves number 4 to be an important number, and that by the woman, these 4 periods are represented. Elohim, who foresaw the selfishness of man, let's read that again. The Elohim, who foresaw the selfishness of men, commanded the prophet to write the following: "You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with the force and with the cruelty have you ruled them, and they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat unto all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh, as I live, saith the Yahweh Elohim. Surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat unto every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, saith Yahweh Elohim. Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will betray, both search my sheep and seek them out. Ezekiel 34:3-11. As a comparison, the spirit of Elohim drew a literal picture from the flock of the sheep and shepherds. Elohim's people as a flock and the ministry as a shepherd. Elohim's true people will imitate the sheep, and his watching will imitate the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. Anything less than this is an abomination in the Elohim sight. If we are to learn the lesson intended, we must first acquire a clear understanding of the type, shepherds and flocks. For the anti-type, ministers and church members are asked to copy after the pattern. The picture is drawn from the ancient method of the herding of the sheep, of the flock. For the open pasture of the mountains and hills required the shepherd's continual care over the sheep. For the vast territory drew the sheep and shepherds a considerable distance from the home, and the continual moving over the landscape made it impossible to obtain a permanent shelter of any kind for the sheep or shepherds. Consequently, other help was needed. Each shepherd had a certain number of the dogs, depending on the size of the flock for the safety of the sheep from man and beast. As one thing called for another, an ass was used to carry the necessary supplies for the sheep, dogs, and shepherds. These consisted of the clothing, night coverings, food for the shepherds as well as for the dogs, medicine, bandages, etc. For the faithful animals carried the load on his back throughout each day of the year. At the end of the day, the shepherd counted his sheep. It was if one was missing, he went to search for it at once, as it was not safe for one to wander apart from the flock, for the excellent condition of the sheep was the evidence of the shepherd's fidelity and worthiness of his hire. He not only had to seek good pasture, but act as a veterinarian as well. Often a sheep would break its leg, and it was the shepherd's duty to skillfully sit, splinter, and bandage the wound. In the traveling over the rough surface of the land, where there were rocks and brush, accidents were frequent. Sometimes a thorn would prick the flesh or other minor injury occur that probably caused no pain and would not be noticed by the shepherd. Yet a fly might have deposited her eggs in the open sore, and larva would soon develop and work their way under the skin and through the bone. This was a common occurrence. At such a time, the shepherd's attention is turned to the ailment of the sheep, and he must then give his special care and bandage the wound. When a lamb or even a sheep was sick and too weak to follow the flock, it was the shepherd's duty to care for and carry them. If he should have a lamb in his arms, the mother sheep is constantly by his side gazing at and speaking unto it. These noble creatures care, feed, and keep their lambs spotlessly clean. Are you mothers doing as much for your children? Are you shepherds and ministers of the flock of the Elohim doing all the ancient shepherds did for his sheep? Or do you feed and care for yourselves more than you do for the flock of the Elohim? Are you worthy of your hire? For the ancient shepherd had to give a complete account of the flock, even unto the smallest detail. Do you think Elohim will require less of you? Are not his sheep of much greater value? For the David risked his life for a lamb, but Elohim delivered him from the lion and the bear. David, for the Elohim's honor and for the safety of his people, endangered his own life, faced the giant Goliath, but Elohim delivered the Philistine into David's hand and made David king over his nation. Do you think he will do less for you if you to imitate the good shepherd? Said to Yahshua, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches him, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. John 10:11-15. For the prophet Isaiah, looking forward to the present day condition, says, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Isaiah 56:11. Okay, the leopard-like beast. We're going into now Revelation 13:1-10. For the nondescript beast of Daniel 7 representing Rome in his first stage shows prophetically by his 10 horns that there were 10 kings to arise out of the Rome. In his second stage it is shown that the papacy was to arise, subdue 3 kings, and wear out the saints of the Most High for the space of the 1260 years. But it tells not of the fall of the Roman monarch or the papacy. It is silent concerning the Reformation that came before or after 1798 A.D. Therefore, the lack of the information by the symbols of this beast must be found somewhere else in the prophetic word of the Elohim. This must be sought in the book of the Revelation, for it is a complement unto Daniel's prophecies. For the leopard-like beast, Revelation 13:1-10, is the only symbolical prophecy that tells of the fall of the Roman monarchy, the crowning of the 10 kings, the wound of the papacy, the Reformation, and the rise of Protestantism, and the capacity of the Pope. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Revelation 13:1. Note, this beast has the same number of the horns as the nondescript in his first stage, Imperial Rome. Daniel says the 10 horns on the beast representing Rome are 10 kings that shall arise, Daniel 7:24. For the horns symbolizing the Roman world in its imperial state also pointed forward unto the time when the empire would be divided into the 10 parts or kingdoms. For the only words, while the horns primarily represented the Roman world in its imperial form, they secondarily denote the present world in its divided state, since the fall of the Rome corresponding with the 10 toes on the great image of the Daniel 2. For the nondescript beast in his first stage has 10 horns, as in his second stage, the little horn came up and 3 of the 10 were plucked up by the roots, for it denotes that they can never be reinstated as kings. The horns being reduced to the biblical number 7 signified that the papacy was to have complete sway over the entire world as far as the Christian church is concerned. Therefore, the ten horns on the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13:1 cannot signify that the three uprooted ones have assumed their authority the second time, as the same number of the horns appear on each succeeding beast, namely the nondescript of Daniel 7:7, the leopard-like of Revelation 13:1, and the scarlet-colored Revelation 17:3, representing the entire New Testament era. It is evident by the facts gathered that the number of the horns are intended to denote universal, as they are absent from the beast of Revelation 13:11-18. It verifies the fact that the two-horned beast denotes a local system. Therefore, it is unquestionably clear that the fixed number of horns, 10, are designed to universally symbolize the peoples and governments. Follow the chart on page 84. Inasmuch as the lion, the bear, the four-headed leopard, and the nondescript beast, the symbols of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome are linked to each other, for the unbreakable chain of the beast make it impossible for another universal beast system to intersect their consecutive order. Consequently, the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13:1-9 must follow the nondescript beast of the Rome. Revelation 13:2-3. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now notice that deadly wound was on one of those seven heads. And one of those seven heads represents a church. And those heads represents the churches of Israel. Okay. Thus the composition of the beast reveals the fact that he is a descendant from the four beasts before him, with the mouth of a lion, the feet of a bear, the body of a leopard, and the number of the horns all point back unto his hereditary characteristics as descending from the Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. For this indisputable fact proves that he is the fifth universal beast. For the leopard-like beast arises out of the sea in the same manner as the four beasts before it. For the Daniel 7:3, therefore the beast of Revelation 13:1-9 is created from the result of the war and commotion among the nations in the same manner as the Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. Since the evidence revealed by the symbol cannot be questioned, the leopard-like beast assumes the period after the fall of the imperial Rome, corresponding unto the feet and toes, iron and clay of the great image in the Daniel. 2. In other words, the leopard-like beast arrives with the closing periods represented by the first stage of the nondescript beast, while the second stage of the latter papal Rome continues up to 1798. Consequently, the unfolding process of the one overlaps the downward course of the other. Unto John, the leopard-like beast was shown not in its unfolding process, but rather in its closing act. For he says, and his deadly wound is healed. He saw in the vision the beast after the deadly wound had been healed. For he uses the past tense, was, but in the Daniel's vision, the work of the nondescript beast was all in the future, said the prophet, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. They shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. Daniel 7:25. Daniel in the vision viewed the history represented by the beast forward, while the John looked backward. Or in other words, Daniel saw what the beast was to do, while John was shown what the beast had done. For the crowns and the horns of the beast, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his coins 10 crowns. John says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death. So the wounded head represents the papacy, wounded by the Martin Luther, 1500, which was originally symbolized by the horned head of the nondescript beast, showing only the papal power and the authority, but the leopard like shows the papacy in her wounded state and the imprisonment of the Pope. Thus the two beasts, the nondescript and the leopard like, overlap each other from the fall of the Imperial Rome until 1798. Therefore, while the nondescript beast in its second stage represents the papacy, she is secondarily described by the leopard like as the one reveals it tyrannical authority, and the other describes her downfall. For the little horn was to have power and wear out the saints of the Most High for 1260 years, Daniel 7:25. But the leopard-like also opened his mouth in the blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 40 and 2 months, Revelation 13:6-5. For the number of the months is equivalent unto the time and times and the divide of time, 1260 days or years, figuring 30 days to the month. With the imprisonment of the Pope Pius VI and his death on August 19, 1799, a certain transaction occurred between the nondescript and the leopard-like beast, for the head and horns were removed from one to the other, so to speak. In the making of the change, the little horn, having the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, was transposed from horned head to a common wounded head, showing the papacy had lost her ecclesiastical authority and was no longer represented by a horned head, combination of church and state. So the papacy was reduced to one of the seven heads. And that event terminated the prophetic period of the 1260 years of Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 13:5. It completely crowned the horns of the leopard-like beast, signifying that the state is now independent of the church. The crowns on his horns denote the fall of the Roman monarchy, showing that the 10 kings, which were symbolized by the 10 horns of the nondescript beast, have received their kingdom. Horns and heads all present. For I, John, saw the beast having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. Let us not overlook the fact that all horns, crowns, and heads are present on the beast. Therefore, whatever meaning is derived by the symbol, all must be in the existence at the time his deadly wound was healed. Had it not been so, the symbols of the heads and horns would have come one after another, as it was with the little horn and the other three that were plucked up from the nondescript beast of Daniel 7:7. For a similar method is observed with the he-goat after the notable horn Alexander was broken off. Four came up to take his place, the four divisions of the Grecia, and after these came up the exceeding great horn, which primarily represented Rome, Daniel 8:8-9. Where system and governments do not all exist at the same time, the symbols show their consecutive order. Another factor to be noted, that every symbol of the entire procession of the beast points out facts that were to transpire within the period represented by each beast, and not one of them refers to anything in the past save the hereditary and ancestral characteristics. Therefore, beast or horns have no reference to anything before or after the period represented by the beast. It is also unnatural for the heads, members of the beast, to exist before or after the beast himself. Therefore, it would be inconsistent to conclude that the horns as well as the heads could denote a consecutive order of the system, so long as they all appear at the time of the closing act of the beast. for the leopard-like beast in his wounded state must be intended to prophetically point out the existing condition with the present civilization. For the symbol of the heads, now we're going to go into that. For it is impossible that both horns and heads could stand for the civil governments or kings. If the horns represent the political side, then the heads cannot. For John says of the leopard-like beast, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. As the head that was wounded represents a religious system, then all seven must represent religious organization. For all heads are alike, save the wound. Thus it is an unmistakable fact that the symbols are intended to reveal both the civil and the religious side of the present world. For the crowns represent civil authority, as previously explained. Had they been on the heads, like on the dragon, Revelation 12:3, it would denote that the churches are using the civil arm of the state to propagate their dogma, as in the days of the imperial and papal Rome, represented by the dragon. But since the crowns are on the horns and the state is independent from the church, it proves the symbol by the crowns to be correct, as the facts brought forth regarding the nature of the symbols cannot be questioned. It is evident that we have a positive foundation for their application. For the leopard-like beast is a descendant of the four ancient empires. Therefore, he represents the world, but more particularly the entire Western civilization with their civil and religious system. Consequently, the heads represent Christendom only. John says, the beast, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The fact that there is the name of blasphemy on the heads is an additional proof that they can only represent religious organizations, for blasphemy is equivalent unto hypocrisy, and hypocrisy means an attempt to mix the sacred with the common. But the Yahweh says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, Christians, and are not, but are of the synagogue of the Satan, Revelation 2:9, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blasphemy, 1 Timothy 1:20. Therefore, Son of Man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed trespass against me. Ezekiel 20:27. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith Yahweh, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills, therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Isaiah 65:7. Disobedience unto the word of Elohim is blasphemy. Naturally, the question arises, who could these blasphemous denominations be? They can certainly be many. Consider the multiplicity of the sects, for the prophetic word the Elohim speaking of this present time says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, 2 Peter 3:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. What has brought the present day confusion? Because they have departed from the sound Bible truth is the only answer that can be given. Is it possible that all can be right when no two believe alike? With but one Bible, one Gospel, one Yahshua, one hell to shun, and one heaven to gain, Yahshua said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That is John 10:16. Now I want to do a little review here now on some of the stuff that I've read, and I want to back up here to page 81 and make a point. It says, for the ancient shepherd had to give a complete account of the flock, even unto the smallest detail. Do you think Elohim will require less of you? Are not his sheep of much greater value? David risked his life for a lamb, but Elohim delivered him from the lion and the bear. David, for the Elohim's honor and for the safety of his people, endangered his own life, faced the giant Goliath, but Elohim delivered the Philistine into David's hand and made David king over his nation, over Yahweh's nation. Do you think he will do less for you if you too imitate the good shepherd? Alright, now here's the wrap-up of that. When I was with Gilead Center from 1970 to 2003, I was there as the little shepherd boy, David. I didn't know what my purpose was and that I was playing the role of David. I know that I had the antitypical period of antitypical Jacob, but I also had the role as antitypical David in the child form, when David was just a teen, herding sheep. That was what I was when I was with Phyllis Johnson. I was just a little shepherd boy, a sheep herder, in the flock, in the house of Israel. Okay? So when I stood up and delivered the message for Yahshua in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, I was delivering Israel out of the mouth of the lion and the bear. The lion represented Davidia, and the lion represented the branch Davidians at Kermit, Texas. Okay? And the bear represents the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Brother Johnson be the angel of the candlestick. He was both in charge of the South Country, where the lion abides, and he was also in charge of the North Country, where the bear abides, all at the same time. Because it says, David slew the bear and the lion in one day. Same day, David slew the bear and the lion. Okay, so whenever I stood up and delivered that message to Brother Johnson from heaven that day, July the 14th, 2002, is when the lion and the bear and the antitype was slain. Okay, now, David, though, went back to his usual work. I went back to my usual work, continuing on, just like nothing had ever happened, expecting Brother Johnson to make the changes and that I would continue on with his congregation. Even until now, I thought that's the way it would be, but it wasn't not to be, because the lion and the bear had been slain. When I delivered that message and Brother Johnson rejected it, that's when the antitypical slaying of the lion and the bear took place. Okay? Now, David came into the camp one day when the Goliath was taunting the army of Israel. King Saul was in charge of it, and he was just shivering in his boots. He was literally quaking in his boots. He was afraid. He wouldn't accept the challenge of Goliath. So David, having already proved himself by slaying a lion and a bear, and went back to herding his sheep and gave it not one second thought. He'd already prepared himself. And then when he came into camp to check on his brothers, he only went down there to take food and stuff to his brothers and to see how everything was going in the camp of Israel, the army of Israel. He didn't go down there to fight or take up the challenge. He was just a little stripling. He didn't have any armament on. He didn't have nothing to fight with. But yet Yahweh sent him there for one purpose, and that is to slay the great leader of the opposing nation that was occupying Yahweh's nation of Israel, the land of Canaan. They were like the Palestinians occupying the land of Israel until Yahweh mandated Israel to go in and take her land back in 1948. And typical Philistines was occupying the land of Israel up until 1948. And Yahweh delivered them, Israel, the land, back to its proper ownership. And so now here we have, Yahweh tells me today, he said, he will not make you ruler over his nation until you defeat the antypical Goliath, Obama. Because you've already defeated the lion and the bear. You've already done that. Now you've got to prove yourself by defeating this big, humongous giant of a man. That's the ruler of the Philistines, and back then that he was the ruler over all of the then known world, Goliath was. Because he had already taken over and occupied the land of Canaan. And so now here King Saul is sent to take it back, but he can't accept the challenge because Yahweh had already rejected King Saul before that day. And Yahweh had already withdrawn his spirit from King Saul, so there was no way that King Saul could deliver and accept the challenge of Goliath. It was only King David. The little shepherd boy David. So Yahweh sent him there, and as Yahweh's spirit was with David when he slew the lion and the bear, and so likewise he's with David when he slays Goliath. I have nothing to fear playing the antitypical role of David. It has given me a determination like I've never had before to do everything I can to be ready, because I feel that if I was ready tomorrow, I would go up and I would take charge of this great nation, this United States, which is Yahweh's nation. This is Yahweh's nation. And Goliath is threatening to completely, completely subdue it and overthrow it and give it to the, and ironically enough, the antitypical Philistines are in this land. The Muslim people, they're your antitypical Palestinian Philistines. That's who they are. And they have literally come into this land the last 40 years and literally have overrun it and taken it over. Businesses and everything. President of the United States, they've taken over the political system, they've taken over all of our business, commercialism. Okay. So now it says, do you think he will do any less for you if you too imitate the good shepherd? So, if I imitate Yahshua, be faithful, and carry out my duties, whether serving you, drink, say, or do all the glory of Yahweh. And if I do Isaiah 33, I believe it's 33:15. Let's go read it. It says, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of the oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of the bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of the blood, and shutteth his eyes from the seeing of evil, he shall dwell on high, his place of the defense shall be the munition of the rocks, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Let us continue our study now on page 90. It says, such satanic confusion as the one at the present time was about to rise in the days of Paul. As the spirit of Elohim moved upon him, he uttered the words with a sharp rebuke. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Savior Yahshua Messiah, that you shall speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of the Shiloh, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Yahshua, and the is Yahshua divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of the Paul? 1 Corinthians 1:10-13. How great the contrast between the position taken by the Spirit-filled servants of Elohim and the present-day self-styled apostles. For Yeshua said, all these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. John 16:3. Had all these so-called Christian leaders been led by the Spirit of Elohim, they would imitate the example set forth by the prophets and the apostles. Then there could have been no division in the biblical truth. For the present day condition is indeed a blasphemy and fulfills the words of the Master, for there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible they shall deceive the very elect. Matthew 24:24. In the view of this great confusion, there is apparent difficulty to immediately determine who is right and who is wrong. But Yahshua said, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on the earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in the heaven. Matthew 18:19. There could be nothing more pleasing unto Elohim than for one of his children to ask in the sincerity the way of the truth. Therefore such a one shall not be left in the darkness. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7. If the people care to find the truth, it can easily be done. But the fact of the matter is that they do not care. People would rather be deceived than to ask Elohim to show them his truth. Yes, they pray, but their prayers are not heard. For he that turns away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Proverbs 28:9. For the so-called Christian of this day says that the scripture is in the Old Testament and for the Jews only. For we turn unto the New Testament for the light upon the subject. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of the heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of the heaven. Matthew 5:19. For the honest in the heart, with surprise, hear the word from the impious scoffer of the day. It does not mean the law of the Elohim. It is the commandment of the Yahshua. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. True, but which one of the Ten Commandments can you break and yet fulfill the commandments of the Yahshua? And if you love your neighbor, will you dishonor your Elohim? Are not the first four kept to show honor unto Elohim, and the last six to test our love unto man? Said the Yahshua, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22:40. Is the begotten son of Elohim working in the opposition unto his father? For the revelation of the Yahshua Messiah, which Elohim gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must be shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Revelation 1:1. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of the Elohim and the faith of the Yahshua. Revelation 14:12. Has not Yahshua said that his saints keep the commandments of the Elohim? Again, the carnal mind raises an objection. They keep the commandments of the Elohim and not the law. But the Spirit declares, if you have respect to the person, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in the one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, has said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law, so to speak. So do as they that shall be judged by the law of the liberty. James 2:9-12. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of the life, and may enter into the gates into the city. Revelation 22:14. For the keeping of his commandments is a ticket to heaven. unto the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according unto this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Elohim, for it is not subject unto the law of Elohim, neither indeed can be. Romans 8:7. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. After losing one devilish loophole, the carnal mind takes hold of another, determined to serve the devil and deceive himself, and with his nose in the air, he utters the words, we are not to keep the law according unto the letter, but according unto the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. His misconception of what truth is leads him to believe that to keep the law according to the Spirit, he must disregard the written word of Elohim and keep the divine law according to his own ways and in harmony with his carnal mind, making void Yahweh's own inscription, see Exodus 31:18, thus exalting the finite above the infinite. What greater blasphemy can one commit? We give here a brief explanation of the subject. To keep the law according to the letter is to build a wall around it, as the proud Pharisees did. We quote 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Therefore, though we kill not, and yet hate our brother, we have kept the law blameless according unto the letter, but not according unto the Spirit. For the keeping of the law according to the Spirit has a broader significance than the carnal mind can conceive. If I must keep the whole law, I must keep the whole word of the Elohim in every respect, otherwise I would dishonor him and would become a transgressor of the law of a disobedient son, dishonors his earthly father, and becomes guilty of the fifth commandment in the law. Are we saved by the law? No, indeed. We are judged by the law. So if we willfully disobey the word of the Elohim, we fall under the condemnation of the law. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for the sin, Hebrews 10:26. But if we love the righteousness of the Elohim as expressed in his law and determined to obey his holy word, wherever found, Bible or spirit of prophecy, according to the revelation by his Spirit, then we receive the power which enables us to fulfill the divine purpose, and thereby our sins are blotted out by the blood of Yahshua, and thus we are made free from the law and its condemnation, placed under the divine grace. For it is true that the people like to be deceived, flattering themselves that they are on the way to heaven, while the Satan winks at their ignorance. For the word of the Elohim says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by the reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. 2 Peter 2:12. Now you see what the Bible calls these here people? It calls them evil beasts. It calls these leaders that have apostatized evil beasts. And so when antypical David slays the antypical lion and the antypical bear, he's destroying the false prophets that have apostatized in the house of Israel. For this proves how sectarianism sprung up, as it has been proven and generally accepted that the seven churches of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, represented the history of the church in the Christian era. It is evident that the church was split in the seventh section. For the latest sin being the last, she is also in the danger of falling according unto the testimony of the true witness. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. Elohim has sent message after message to give light upon his written word. They were intended to correct error, rebuke sin, and reprove the sinner. But the leaders of each section threw out the messages, and the few who were willing to sacrifice all for the truth were forced to part from the churches and march on with the light. were the leaders willing to correct their errors and purify the church, there would have been but one session. By the denial of the truth, each section cut itself off from the mighty arm of the Elohim. Thus not one of these churches have had additional light on the scriptures other than that which was imparted unto them by the founders of each movement. For the fact proves the prophetic word of the Elohim correct, and the older the section, the greater the condemnation. Therefore, these churches are represented by the heads. The blasphemy over them denotes their fall. Should they refuse this last call also, then the revelation of these facts would be against them and will bring their final ruin. For the message regarding the 144,000, a call for the Reformation presented unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1930, was in the like manner rejected. Therefore, as the leadership of the churches have never accepted the message at any time, they are certainly fulfilling the following prophecy. For the wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Yahweh, and what wisdom is in them? For the pastors have become brutish and have not sought the Yahweh. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Jeremiah 8:9 and Jeremiah 10:21. For the seven heads of the leopard-like beast represents this mystery of the unrighteousness and hypocrisy, showing how each one fell into the trap as they came to it. Therefore, since Luther's time and on, Elohim permitted that his people should be cast out by the Satan's flood, the unconverted. Thus, he has been calling his church from the one movement unto another. Therefore, they who lower the standard and refuse to reform at the sounding of the trumpet are the very ones who cause division in the church of Elohim. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary unto the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, for they that are such serve not our Savior Yahshua Messiah, but their own belly, and by the good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the single. Romans 16:17-18. So it says, since the history of the church is such, and the last section led us in, is in a worse condition at the Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas, and under greater condemnation than any of the Adventist movements before her, than any previous one, and as there is no time left for the calling out a new movement, then a message of the amazing light and stern rebuke through the word of Elohim with the manifestation of the divine judgment is the only remedy that can bring true conversion and reformation. This brings the close of our study hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Rock of Ages, cliff for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Rock of Ages, look for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from the wounded side which flowed be a sin, the double cure. Save from rats and make me pure. Let my tears forever flow. Let my zeal no languor know. These for sin could not atone. Come a saving thou alone, in my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, and my heart shall close in death, I rise to earth unknown, and behold thee on the throne. like a virgin, slip for me. Let me hide myself in thee.